Thank you, Daryl and Praise Team, and I appreciate all of you being here tonight. Thank you for that. Turn with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, if you have your Bibles with you. And we're going to be looking tonight just on the subject from directly from the text, just simply, God is with us, just from this wonderful passage in Matthew. Most of you may know in the previous weeks on this little simple Sunday night series that we've been sharing, that we've been talking about the announcements that have come to Zechariah and Elizabeth concerning the birth of their son, who would grow up to be John the Baptist, who was known as the forerunner of our Lord Jesus Christ, and how that kind of caught them off guard a little bit. And Zechariah was unable to speak until the child was born. And we studied that passage, and then last week, we studied, or a couple of weeks ago before the Charles Billingsley concert, we studied the announcement to Mary. And tonight we're going to look at the announcement to Joseph. The significance of that announcement to Mary resonates in my heart as I continue to think what a priceless pair these two were, Mary and Joseph. What an amazing young couple at such a young age, but yet nonetheless they were ordinary people. But God takes great pleasure in taking ordinary people and doing extraordinary things. And he does that continually. And so sometimes if you let your imagination kind of flow with you, one of the books that I read many years ago was by Warren Wiersbe, and he was encouraging us to let Scripture come alive in preparing for messages and sharing messages. But you got to be careful with that. You don't want it to go crazy on you. But it does help sometime to do a little role play. And just imagine what it would have been like if you would have been Mary, or as we will see tonight, if you would have been Joseph. The significance of these announcements. The Christmas story truly is an amazing story. How God then and today chooses to work through humble servants who will yield themselves to him. And that's the kind of God we serve. As we see this and we understand this, Mary's response last week, just to refresh you with one simple verse, in Luke 1:38, Mary simply said this, and may it resonate in our hearts tonight, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to thy word." God, I hear you. I hear what you're saying to me through this angelic messenger. And Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Little did Mary know that that surrender of her life would forever change her life. And one day she would stand at the foot of the cross, as John's gospel so vividly tells us. And there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother Mary. Moms, what a great example this is for you of mothers who stand by their children. So our text this evening will tell us this, the significance of this birth announcement tonight. As we will see, I'll read verses 18 through 25 for our opening text of Matthew's Gospel, if you'd like to follow along. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. I pray that you'll just help us tonight, Lord, open our hearts to you and have a deep understanding, Lord, through the inspiration of Scripture and the illumination of the Holy Spirit, even in our hearts, so that we will realize the significance of what you were doing, not only then, but even today, by giving us your holy presence to dwell with us and among us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we see this, the text is just a beautiful text as we see this, and I've emphasized from verse 23 the message that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Sometime you want to turn and read the background of that, where God, some 700 years prior to the coming of this son, had told that he was going to come and he would be born in this way by a virgin. Now, last week in the announcement of Mary, we spent some time dealing with the significance of the virgin birth and how it was so necessary for this child to be born in this way, being the Son of God, yet the Son of Man. He was truly God's Son, but he was truly also, as many of the New Testament writers refer to him, the Son of Man, as he even referred to himself that way. And so we see this, but the most amazing thing of the Christmas story, I don't want us to miss it, is not the virgin birth. The most amazing thing of the Christmas story is not a celebration of the infancy of this child. The most amazing thing about the Christmas story is a celebration of the deity of God Almighty coming and dwelling in our midst. That was the significant thing. Throughout the Old Testament, God had dwelt among his people in different ways. He had been with them, as we know, some of his servants, as he would call them, Moses at the burning bush. We saw many examples of this, or in the tabernacle, or in the temple even. God would dwell with his people in that way. But even as Jesus hung on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two. And God had come to dwell among his people in a very personal, in a very intimate way, unlike ever before. And he continues to dwell with us even through the person of his Holy Spirit, even as Jesus would tell us about that after his departure. He said, the Holy Spirit, I will not leave you as orphans, as Jesus said in John chapter 14, but I will come and I will be with you and I will be in you. Jesus spoke to us and helped us understand that. And so as we see this, we need to understand the significance of God, very God, coming to earth and taking on the form of a man, as we see. Most of us know this doctrine as the doctrine of the incarnation. The incarnation, when God became man. One of the greatest passages that gives us a background of that is Philippians chapter 2, when we're told in that passage that God took on the form Jesus. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he laid aside that aspect of his godliness, and he took on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. And so we see the background of that wonderful passage. But as we look at this, I wanted to kind of use Joseph's life tonight as an illustration to you and me. I don't want this just to be a historical study about how God came to Joseph. I want it to be an illustration of how God comes to us and how God dwells with us and continues to include us in his plan and his purpose for the ages. So look with me in verse 18, and we'll get into the text proper this evening. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. It says, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child from the Holy Spirit. And so this first little verse just gives us, and it starts out, this is how the birth of Jesus took place. As Brother Don's been teaching us so well on Sunday morning, it didn't all begin here in Judea, right here in this portion where we're going to see they're going to end up ultimately in Bethlehem, this young couple from Nazareth. But even in our passage tonight, as they were setting this up and bringing us to the Christmas story, verses 1 through 17 of Matthew gives us a real interesting read. It's the genealogy of Jesus Christ. God had been preparing Joseph before he was ever born for this moment in time. Just like God has been preparing you and me in His own unique way for whatever it is that God has called us to do. Number one, to know Him and to follow Him and to serve Him and ultimately to share Him and to glorify His name through all that we do. And so we see the lineage that He gives, so significant. He started with Abraham. He said the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so Jesus would be the fulfillment of the promise to set on the Davidic covenant as a son of David. And so the genealogy runs through here, 14 generations, and then another 14, three periods of 14 generations, as we're told, even in verse 17 of this text. But as you work through this, it's interesting to see. Now, I know that I heard a preacher say once a long time ago, and it kind of stuck with me. He said, some of my relatives may have hung by their neck, but none of them ever hung by their tail. Let that sink in. Some of you are still sleepy. Jesus had some knots in His family tree. And so do you, and so do I. And we are those knots ourselves, because but for the grace of God, none of us would be saved. But as you look at this, it's amazing to see how God was preparing through this wonderful genealogy, generation after generation. Now, Luke chapter 3 gives the genealogy of Mary. But here in this genealogy, let me point out just a few names. Abraham, he was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. And it says, and Judah was the father of Perez by Tamar. Now we see this, and we see Jacob was known to be a schemer. A lot of us have had some shady things in our past, and you never know what we've been up to. And thank goodness it's not written in Scripture, amen? Then you have Tamar, who disguised herself and had sexual relations with her father-in-law. Then next, in verse 5, it mentions Rahab, who was a prostitute. Then also it mentions Ruth, who was a Gentile, who stayed loyal to her mother-in-law, Naomi, after losing her husband, and ultimately she became the great-grandmother of King David. So it shows us again and again and again how God Almighty ruled and overruled in so many ways to accomplish His good and perfect will in the lives of this man that we come down to named Joseph. This is Joseph's heritage. And God had a plan, and He was working His plan. And so this genealogy reveals to us once again, it clearly shows us the amazing grace of our great God. And how God was gracious to every imperfect generation to bring His perfect Son into the world as we see this. But then when we get down specifically to verse 16, it says, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, and it describes Joseph not as being the father of anybody. It just says Joseph was the husband of Mary. And Scripture is very careful to do that. Although Joseph became his stepfather, he was not his biological father, and Scripture makes that very clear. Because only God the Father, through the conception of the Holy Spirit, could have fathered the Holy Son of God. And so we see this, and so here we have Joseph, who was called to be the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. And so we see generation after generation, God preparing us for the arrival of His Son. In my life, in your life, I can look back to grandparents and great-grandparents. Some of you probably more so than others. You kind of look back into your family history, the family tree. There's a lot of research options that are available for people who want to go deep with that. And you might find something a little bit shady in your past, but rest assured, God is a God of grace and a God of mercy. And God has circumstantially and providentially brought you to the place tonight where you're here hearing His word proclaimed, and you're open to the ministry of the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ, or it's highly unlikely that you would even be here. And hopefully you already have that sweet security of your salvation, knowing that he is your God, just like he was Joseph's God on this night. And Joseph never could have dreamed how God was preparing him for this one special task, but nor can we. Only God and his economy knows what God has in store for each and every one of us. The question is, will we rise to the task, even as we're going to see once again illustrated in the life of Joseph and Mary tonight? So we see the preparation of Joseph in the fact that God was with him, preparing him each step of the way before he was even aware of it. Just like God was preparing us for our relationship with him as well. And then as we move on in the text and we move on beyond just Joseph's preparation, we see how God intervened in Joseph's life in such a significant way and gives what I will call just a wonderful, special, spiritual invitation as he really lets Joseph in on the secrets to know just what he's up to as a way of inviting Joseph to be a part of what he's doing. That is a great spiritual principle. I think it originally got coined many years ago. It's all throughout Scripture as you study it and you see it, that God always lets his servants know what he's up to at just the right time, even as we're told in Scripture, and we see this. But here we see in our passage, I read verse 18, where before they came together that she was found, that's Mary, with the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man, he was unwilling to put her to shame, and he resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph was in quite a dilemma. The Old Testament law said that a woman who was found to be with child before the final steps of that marriage had occurred and the consummation of the marriage had occurred, and Joseph truly knew by this point that Mary was expecting a child. And he also knew something else, that he had not fathered that child because he had had no sexual relations with Mary whatsoever. And he knew that in his heart. And so he was in a dilemma. And so Joseph had settled in his heart, his best solution to this is, I'll just put her away privately, discreetly. He didn't want to hurt Mary. Obviously, he had strong feelings toward Mary. And verse 20 goes on to tell us and give us further insight that he was bothered by this, and as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Sometimes when God intervenes in our life, and there's probably no time like it for you or me, more illustrative of this than when God spoke to us and called us into a relationship with himself in salvation, sometimes the message of God is more than what we expect. Sometimes God shows up in many ways, and he speaks to our hearts and he speaks to our lives. And as Joseph was considering these things, he was in this dilemma. He didn't know exactly how to handle it or what to do. But God always has an answer to all of our life dilemmas. And Joseph had figured out the best way he knew to deal with it, kind of like we do. But I'm thankful that God intervened, and like God continues to intervene. Even when our human efforts fail, God's will always prevails. And so Joseph was in this dilemma, and he did not understand what he could do with Mary. And so God, as he sought God, and the Bible's very clear to tell us, and we don't have all the information going on behind the scene. We don't know when Mary told Joseph. We know that Mary spent the first few months of her pregnancy with her relative Elizabeth. Scripture's very clear on that. And Elizabeth was already in the 6 months, but prior to Elizabeth giving birth, Mary had gone back home. And so some 3 months, perhaps, she was with Elizabeth. And now during this next time of her pregnancy, her and Joseph's paths had crossed. And Mary didn't understand how she was going to explain this to Joseph. She was in a dilemma as well. But somehow Mary must have mustered up the courage to tell Joseph, I'm expecting a child. And Joseph, this child is not from another man. This child is from God. And that was more of a message than perhaps Joseph could even endure on a human level. And so as Joseph pondered what he was going to do with Mary, wanting to believe her, God showed up in Joseph's life. And he sent another one of his angels to Joseph in a dream, and he revealed himself. Now, this was a message from God. It was an angelic messenger that came from God to share this message to Joseph on God's behalf. And the message was very simple and straight to the point. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. What Mary told you, Joseph, is true. And we can just use our imagination and presume that Joseph knew that Mary was pregnant because of the way the passage starts. We know for certain that he did, trying to put her away privately. And so as the revelation came to Joseph, it turned out to be an invitation to join with God and to join with Mary on this great adventure that their lives were fixing to enhance upon, that they neither one of them fully understood it. And so the angel told Joseph exactly what to do. And he said, this child is not any child. This is the promised Messiah. His name will be Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. God was working his glorious salvation plan through mankind again, as he's been so gracious to do generation after generation after generation, but this time in a special way, because now was the time, as Galatians tells us, when the fullness of time had came, at just the right moment in human history, God sent his son born of a woman. And this time, everything was changing. Brother Don's text this morning takes us on in to the reaction after the birth of Jesus Christ, when the angels showed up and proclaimed, glory to God in the highest. All heaven stood amazed. As I told my life group class this morning, there's a common secular expression, when things go south, everybody will say, all hell broke loose. Well, I'm telling you, on that day, all heaven broke loose. And it continues to break loose because the angel's message was powerful. This is a time of rejoicing. It's a time to celebrate because God had shown up in human form. No wonder the angels proclaimed glory to God in the highest. The angels knew who this baby was. It took us as humans a while to wrap our minds around it. It perhaps took Mary and Joseph a little while, but the angels knew really well who this baby was. He was the God of all creation now, wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And so we see that, and we see the significance of this. And so God was inviting Joseph. Now, anytime God gives us a revelation or an insight into his word, it's an invitation for us to step up to the plate and follow through. Do you remember singing the old gospel song, trust and obey? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The sad thing is, a lot of us have just looked at the revelation of God and we've just kind of taken it nonchalantly. We've even been a little bit bored by it at times. We don't even know how to get excited about the things of God because we've drifted so far from God. Joseph was there. I guarantee you this wasn't a boring moment in Joseph's life. When he knew that something big was going down and he had all this excitement and all this adrenaline running through his body. What if I just put Mary away? I mean, if people would have found out, Mary could have been stoned, literally, according to the law, the customs of that day. He wanted to try to protect his young espoused wife before they had come together. And so the revelation that God gave him turned into an invitation to be a part of it. You know, it's what Henry Blackaby in his classic work, Experiencing God, calls a crisis of belief. When God speaks to our hearts in salvation, in sanctification, and spiritual growth and maturity and growing and becoming more like Jesus Christ, oftentimes we resist it because of the uncertainty. Little soft, subtle, demonic type questions haunt us. What will others think? What will others say? Sometimes we hold back on how much we even share about what God is speaking to our hearts and our lives. Now listen, I'm not here tonight because I know our God is a God who still speaks, and I hope you know that. God speaks through His Word first and foremost. He has spoken throughout all eternity through His Son. And there's such a merger of the Son of God and the Word of God that it's literally hard and impossible for us to differentiate. Why? Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. God may not speak to you with an angel. God may speak to you through a sermon. God may speak to you through a devotional quiet time. Anytime you open your Bible, you should have the approach to say, God, here I am, speak to me. Just like Mary was so bold to say in her response to her revelation, let it be unto me, Lord, according to your word. James cautions us on not to just be hearers of the word and not doers of the word only. I made the statement some time ago, it's kind of a catch-22 type statement, that most believers have more scripture knowledge than they've ever even dreamed possible of trying to live up to. And the last thing many believers need is really another sermon. But we keep preaching and teaching because we know God still uses the Word of God to reach the hearts of men. But if you're just going to continually hear God's word and ignore God's word and shut your ears, no wonder Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. And you're not going to live up to the truth that God has given you, then why in the world would God give you deeper insights on the other truth? God's smarter than that. And so God revealed to Joseph something very difficult. He was in a crisis of belief. He considered these things, and as he considered these things, and God will never turn away any of our serious inquiries. And as we say, God, I know I don't know the answer, but Jesus and God, I know you are the answer. And you have the answer. There's always an answer when God shows up. There's always a word when God shows up. He may not use an angel, although he may use an angel. Don't you love to celebrate angels at Christmas? They were really involved. The Bible tells us, beware in the book of Hebrews, some of you have entertained angels unaware. He may use your life group teacher. He may use your husband or your wife. He may use your mom or your dad. He may use a song. He may use a prayer. But our God is a God who still speaks to His servants when our ears are attentive to Him. And He's inviting us to be a part of what He's doing in the here and now. It's huge. It's larger than life. It's larger than anything you can ever conceive. The adventure that God is inviting you to when He says these simple words, follow me. Follow me. When you follow Jesus Christ, you don't always know where you're going, but He knows. And it's not up to me to know where I'm going. It's up to me to know where He's at and that I'm following Him. Because the Bible's very clear that we are to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The reason many of us aren't following him is we're not looking unto him. We're looking to everything else to satisfy us and fill us. And God's saying, I want to be first in your life. And he had Joseph in a corner, and I'm glad Joseph surrendered. Because the Bible tells us the narrative account in Matthew's gospel, verses 22 and 23, were not a part of the conversation between the angel and Joseph. Verse 22 and 23 were the narrative that Matthew put in to help us know that what was taking place going down here with Joseph, God had told us about it 700 years some earlier through the prophet Isaiah. All this took place and fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. And I'm glad that Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, saw fit to include it right here in this passage. I don't know how much of this Joseph understood at the passage, but Joseph had enough insight from God and enough holy unction in his heart that the next verse tells us exactly what Joseph did, which is the final part of this message. Not only do we see the preparation and the invitation, but we see his participation. And it's simply stated in verse 24 and 25. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did. You need to underline the word did. Because God said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. He did what the angel commanded him. What was that? He took his wife. He married Mary. Amen. He took his wife. God had planned before the ages began that Joseph would be the one who would marry Mary, who would be the stepchild. The amazing thing, as I was studying again last week, and if I'm wrong, I stand to be corrected. As far as I can tell, there's never one word in Scripture mentioned that Joseph himself spoke. And he was the stepdad of Jesus. He was the one that would provide for, that would protect, that would help nurture this young man in a call unlike any other call that had ever been placed on another man's life. And Mary and Joseph were being greatly used in God. You know, sometimes God's will isn't as hard as you think it is. A lot of us have gotten married, and some of us probably were just so lovesick we didn't know what we were doing. But hopefully you were smack dab in the middle of God's will. Because listen, I'm here to tell you, especially in the day and age we live in, marriage is a holy covenant from God. And if God has led you to a godly spouse, then you can be smack dab in the center of God's will. And there's a phenomenon sweeping across our nation. I was visiting with someone today at lunch talking about extended adolescence, where a lot of young people in America today are not being married because they just want to continue having fun like some teenage kid. That's one of the lessons I teach in men's fraternity. There comes a time and a place in our life where we have to put away childish things and become men and women of God. And marriage still is a sacred thing in the face of God. And so we see this and we understand that his participation was simple, but yet it was profound. We know that later the passage tells us, Matthew's gospel, and that they would have to flee Bethlehem and they would have to go down into Egypt. That was not an easy journey because that evil Herod was trying to kill all the children. Just basically, he was trying to kill this child. And he said, rather than miss the chance of killing this child, I'll just kill all the children. And so once again, Joseph was told to flee and take Mary and now the son. So he was his protector. He was his provider. And God used him in such a significant way just by stepping up to the plate and doing what God had said. You know, God has revealed so much of His will to you and I, and you and I are privileged to be able to be a part of what God is doing. I heard this weekend as we dedicated the new building out at the Renewal Ranch, and James Loy has kind of bought into this Henry Blackaby statement that find out where God is working if you want to be a part of His team and join with Him. And that's true for church membership too. A lot of people resist the commitment of church membership, which that's what joining the church is. It's commitment. Just like this was for Joseph. It was commitment. See, it's easy to be a freelancer with no commitment and just church hop from church to church and church to church. But when God leads you to a people in a place where God's Spirit is anointing, and you want to throw in your towel with them, and you want to throw in your hat and be a part of that, then you need to do what God told you to do. God continues to reveal Himself to us in so many marvelous ways, and it's up to us to respond in a God-honoring way. So truly, tonight, I want you to see that God was with Mary and Joseph, and He's with you and me too. God continues to be with us in the revelation of Himself through His Word. The question is, are we hearing His Word? God continues to be with us in the preparation of our lives, generation after generation, parents with children, grandparents with grandchildren, and one generation after the next, passing the spiritual baton off to the next. Are you stepping up to the plate and abiding by those responsibilities? Are you saying, well, I don't want to push them away, or I don't want to interfere with them? Folks, go hard after Jesus and give them all of Jesus you can. He's the only thing that'll keep them from making wrong decisions in this world. He is the only thing. Generation after generation, go back and read the genealogy. See all the people that God used in Joseph's life. I thank God today for my grandfather and my great-grandparents that I only knew about, that my grandmother told me once, Mike, did you know you had a great-grandfather who was a preacher? As far as I know, he was the only preacher in our family until now, until you. And I said, thank you, grandmother, for telling me. She was passing on the baton to her grandson. Generation after generation, God is still with us as He speaks to us through His Word, through His Spirit, and He invites us. God is still with us in our sanctification as each day of our life, as we lean into Jesus, He's maturing us and molding us. And if you're pulling away from Jesus, you'll not see the spiritual growth in your life. God says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. In your sanctification, many of you struggle in your spiritual growth and maturity just because you're not taking God seriously. He's become a God of convenience to you instead of a God of your commitment. And when you're committed to God, it takes sacrifice. And it takes seriousness. It's a little word the New Testament uses when it tells us to be sober, to be very serious about God speaking to our life. And God will continue to be with us, hallelujah, right up until the end, to the day He calls us home to be with Him. Praise God, this year at Christmas, we have much to celebrate. God is with us. Emmanuel. Let's stand. Brother Darrell's going to come and lead us in an invitation. Brother Don and I will be here in the altar. If we can pray with you, a burden on your heart. I pray tonight, God has been with you, and He's spoken to you through this simple message. We'll be here in the altar to receive you.
Come just as you are.